Chapter 6
I didn't know who the Sisters of the New Moon were, but they already said they worshipped the lunar god Khonsu, and they apparently weren't big fans of the OLG. Still, if they were servants of Khonsu in any capacity, that meant they weren't exactly going to be major fans of a bastard of Bast like myself, either. And judging by the pure glee in these women's eyes when they looked down at me in the trunk, the Sisters of the New Moon were chomping at the bit to sacrifice me.
I can't believe this is happening.
The first woman, a middle-aged, unattractive blonde with thin lips and a pointed nose, breathed.
Praise the glorious Khonsu.
This is a sign, sister.
The second woman cooed as she jumped up and down with glee. She was about my age with a silver streak in her hair and leather clothes all over her body. But the frown lines around her made her look older and like she scowled a lot.
A sign that the tides are finally turning for the Sisters of the New Moon, and that those foolish men in the OLG are no longer in Khonsu's good graces.
Why would they be?
The first woman scoffed.
How many times have they told us about how they tried unsuccessfully to kill the Werepanther, as if their failures were somehow supposed to impress us?
I've said some weird shit to get laid, but I've never quite tried to brag about murdering innocent people like these OLG douchebags. I taunted through a fake, panicked growl, even though I knew I was in control this entire time.
They didn't gag him.
One of the sisters frowned down at me.
This is going to get quite annoying.
That's my middle name. Especially for Khonsu-worshipping fuckwits like you guys.
Oh, how cute.
The silver and black-haired woman leaned in and scratched my chin like I was a cute animal.
The little kitty cat thinks he's still the strongest creature in the room. Do you want to see true power, bastard of Bast?
If you find someone who actually has it, let me know, I said with a smirk.
I really wish you would have gagged him.
The blonde spat as she looked off to the left. Then the two women simply clicked their tongues and summoned silver magic into their hands. They aimed their glowing hands in my direction, but I just shook my head and laughed. A moonbeam? Please, I've taken way more of those little tickle rays than you can even imagine.
We're not those oafish men you usually deal with.
The blonde, middle-aged witch giggled devilishly.
The magic the moon grants her daughters is much more varied. Observe, bastard of Bast.
I frowned in confusion when she didn't say Khonsu granted their powers, but I didn't have much time to think on it. A blast of silver magic shot from her hand and struck me square in the chest. But unlike the moonbeams I'd been hit with before, there wasn't any sort of painful sensation that accompanied this attack. It was, actually, quite the opposite. I felt weightless and lightheaded, almost like all the blood in my body had been replaced with helium. That was when I felt my body lift up off the ground. The blonde's eyes narrowed as she moved her glowing hand upward, and my body followed its trajectory. I tried to kick out of the spell as my body raised up out of the trunk and up above the car, and I looked down to see we were now in a dark, dingy old graveyard. Ada, Leah, and Janine were all outside of the vehicle at this point, and I could see the fear in their eyes as it shimmered behind their forced smiles.
Surprised?
The blonde woman sneered up at me.
That's not even the tip of the iceberg. Wait until you see what my sister can do.
I felt my body slowly start to lower downward in a diagonal motion toward the younger, leather-clad lady. The glowing silver magic on the dark-haired witch's right hand suddenly began to expand, and then it started to elongate outward in the direction of my body. As I drew closer to the Sister of the New Moon, I soon found myself face to face with a sharp point aimed right at my left eye. Fuck. Maybe I was going to have to transform way sooner than I thought. I could hear the heartbeats of all my women as they pounded in my ears, and I started to wonder how much longer I could keep this facade up. Then my body stopped.
No, no, Ginny.
The older blonde tisked as she held me in place.
As tempting as it might be, we don't want to kill him right now.
Why not?
Ginny demanded, as her mouth twisted into an evil grin, and I saw her teeth were yellow and crooked.
It'd be so easy.
If only she knew just how easy it would be right now for me to turn and rip her head clean off her shoulders before she could even bat an eye.
We don't wish to deny our sisters the satisfaction,
the blonde woman explained, before she turned to face my lovers.
Also, we simply cannot let these three unsung heroes go unrewarded.
The entire OLG has been after the Werepanther of Cincinnati for months, and they just show up and hand him to us on a silver platter. They deserve all the praises to their fullest. I suppose.
The witch named Ginny sighed, and then she retracted the magical spike and deactivated her magic.
What are your names?
Names!
Leah gulped, and I heard her heartbeat start to intensify.
I'm Darla.
Ada lied as she smoothly stepped forward and held her head high.
The blonde tart over there is Ashley, the redhead is Jenny.
Right!
Janine proclaimed with a slightly shaky smile.
I'm Jenny.
Even though the middle-aged blonde seemed to believe my friend's story, Ginny's eyes narrowed as she tilted her head to the right. Her suspicion made her even more unattractive.
Forgive me if I seem a bit forward here, but this all seems a bit too convenient. How'd you even know of our existence? How'd you capture this creature nobody, not even the mighty Div or Orglin, have been able to slay?
Oh, don't think too hard about it, love.
Ada said in a completely nonchalant tone.
It wasn't hard to lure him in, considering big, dumb men like this guy only have one thing on their mind at all times.
We offered ourselves to him,
Janine added, and pushed her glasses up her nose.
All three of us at once. He jumped at the opportunity.
Yeah,
Leah said with a slight stutter.
We totally told him we'd have an orgy.
And being the dumb, single-minded creature he is, the Werepanther fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Ada continued the charade.
Once we had him where we wanted him, well, that's when we knocked him out and bound him with magical chains.
You know magic?
Ginny asked, and the suspicion on her face thickened.
We know basic magic,
the succubus shrugged.
Though we desire to learn more. That's why we've come to you, Sisters of the New Moon. We wish to learn the same wonderful powers the various moon deities have bestowed upon your sorority.
Moon deities? Do they worship others beside Khonsu? I filed the thought away for later.
And as for how we know about you?
Janine offered.
I've been known to dabble in the occult from time to time, and I've long searched for a cult that could help us increase our knowledge of the Ancient Ones and their powers. You are far and away the best option in our area. So now we come to offer ourselves to your coven in humble service. With a peace offering, of course.
And you think these chains will hold him?
The middle-aged blonde witch asked as she gestured at me.
He's a werepanther, after all. They are notorious for their ability to slip away from even the most dire of situations. Not this one. This guy here doesn't even know how to fully control his transformations yet. He couldn't break out of those chains even if his tiny little man brain wanted to.
They're made of pure silver and enchanted with a blessing from a pep himself. You've harnessed the magic of a pep?
Ginny asked with wide eyes.
And you've come seeking our help?
It was a miracle we got the spell to work,
Ada said, as she laid her hand over Janine's shoulder and subtly squeezed.
Jenny and I here stood around for hours as we tried to get the incantation right. Do you have any idea how difficult it is to speak Cataclystic?
I do.
The blonde witch nodded.
That is why we tend to avoid magic that has its basis in the demonic.
You've never even tried. What a dull existence. Hopefully, once you let us into your coven, we can help lighten you up a bit. It's fun to experiment, love.
Let it be known I'm still a bit skeptical,
Ginny admitted.
But you make a compelling argument. What do you think, sister?
I think we should let the rest of the coven decide,
the blonde woman said with a half smirk.
It's no skin off our backs either way. If they're telling the truth, then we get to eliminate a bastard of Bast, gain Khonsu's glorious favor, and add three potentially powerful witches to our sorority. And if they are lying, well, then we get to kill all four of them.
A wave of nerves washed over my body, but I wasn't truly afraid. Even if they did figure out somehow that we were setting them up, we'd still have the element of surprise on our side. I'd break out of these chains, and my lovers would use their own abilities to help me take out each and every one of these psycho witches. So I simply played it coy and pretended to be afraid.
You'll never get away with this, I said as I pretended to struggle. Just you wait. The Werepanther's going to break out any minute now.
Good.
Ginny's eyes narrowed, and she licked her lips.
Then that'll give me an excuse to kill you even sooner.
Come, my new friends.
The other witch beckoned with her finger.
Come and meet the rest of your potential new sisters.
Ada, Janine, and Leah all began to take a step forward, but they suddenly were stopped in their tracks by a giant glowing spike that shot out in front of them.
Wait!
Ginny growled, and then she pointed with her free hand at Leah.
You've been awfully quiet over there. Where do you fit into all of this?
What do you mean?
Leah asked, and her heart started beating faster than a snare drum.
I'm one of the people who helped capture the werepanther. Is that so?
Ginny asked, as she narrowed her eyes.
Those two said they knocked him out and did the incantation for the chains. What? Do you just offer your body as a sacrifice and then stand back and watch? She was integral to the process. Ashley, I'm talking to her, not you.
Ginny spat, and Janine went silent instantly.
What exactly was your power in this whole thing, Blondie? What are your special powers?
I...
Leah said, as beads of sweat began to form on her forehead.
I have powers from the frog god.
Fuck. I really, really hoped Leah knew what she was doing.
Haket, the weakling goddess of fertility. What's your power, the ability to birth multiple children at once? Can you cause rivers to flood? I don't see how...
Before Ginny could finish her sentence, Leah's eyes narrowed, and she launched her tongue forward. It wrapped around the witch's magical spike like a coil, and quickly yanked it off to the side. Then Ginny just stood there, wide-eyed, as Leah retracted her tongue and smirked.
I can do that,
Leah said, as she lifted her chin.
It's way cooler than having T-1000 powers, honestly.
See?
The blonde witch said to Ginny.
All three of these women would make great additions to our coven. Now, can we stop messing around and go inside? The meeting is about to begin, and I want to tell all our sisters the wonderful news.
Ginny's eyes were still cold and narrow, but she finally deactivated her magic and gave her friend a slow nod. She then stepped out of the way and gestured for my three friends to pass by, but the witch never took her eyes off them the entire time. Finally, the blonde witch who had me in her grasp began to move, and I floated along behind her encased in a glimmer of silver magic. My body still felt like it was weightless, and I was starting to feel my stomach turning in on itself as I held down a bit of sickness.
Don't worry, bastard of fast. It'll all be over soon.
Yeah, right. I'm sure whatever sacrificial ritual you have set up for me involves, like, 5 hours of speeches and ceremonies before you actually get to the damn sacrifice.
An hour and a half at most.
The woman shrugged.
I've never seen somebody so eager to die.
You'd be eager to die, too, if you had to sit around and listen to a bunch of crusty old witches screeching at each other about their moon cycles for an hour.
I don't know what you think we are,
the witch said, as we approached a large marble mausoleum.
But the image of witches you're used to doesn't represent the sisters of the new moon at all.
Ginny and my three friends slipped through the large white door of the mausoleum, and I tried to take in my surroundings as my captor and I approached the threshold. The mausoleum itself was quite large, with plaques stacked on top of each other in a 4x8 pattern. It was a pretty damn big building for holding a bunch of bodies, though I assumed that was intentional by the designer. As we got closer, my suspicions were confirmed. My enhanced eyesight homed in on the names inscribed into the exterior of the mausoleum, and I recognized most of them in an instant. There was Ursula Southiel, Agnes Samson, Malin Matt's daughter, Saren Osborne, Matuccia De Francesco, Gilles Garnier, and even John Proctor. They were the names of famous witches throughout history. The dates were random, as they ranged from the early 1800s all the way to the 1990s, but it was pretty apparent this wasn't a normal mausoleum at all. The blonde witch lowered me down to the ground so I could stand on my own 2 feet, but she didn't release me from her silver spell. Instead, she simply led me like a puppy on a leash as we both finally entered the faux mausoleum. The inside of the building was dim and filled with nothing but more fake marble nameplates all up and down the walls. Every now and again there was a gray beam, but for the most part it looked pretty boring. Ginny and my friends were standing at the far end of the mausoleum, and the witch had her head bowed somberly as she rested her right arm up against one of the faceplates. As the blonde and I approached, she also bowed her head and placed her hand against the same wall. The two sisters of the new moon started to whisper something under their breaths in a language I wasn't familiar with, and as they spoke, silver magic illuminated the words carved into the marble wall, and then began to spread out in a circular pattern. Soon the entire wall was encased with the silver spell, and the loud grating sound of stone rubbing against stone echoed throughout the building. All four of us watched in awe as the faceplates began to fold up and pull back from the center of the wall, until there was a person-sized hole staring us right in the face.
Wow.
Ada whispered.
I definitely want to learn how to do that someday.
All in due time.
Ginny chuckled as she flicked her silver streak of hair out of her eyes.
Until then, though, you'll just have to settle for witnessing the magic.
Ginny passed through the hole in the wall, followed by my three friends, and then the second witch and I. We proceeded down a dark gray stone staircase for several minutes, until we finally reached the bottom and were met with a large, sprawling room. The space was made up completely of light gray marble that was much more polished and new than the rest of the mausoleum, with elegant pieces of silver artwork engraved into the walls, and lots of opal-colored gemstones throughout. At the very center of the massive room was a chandelier that appeared to be made of pure gray moonstone and held hundreds of flickering candles. Just below the chandelier was a plain gray slab, and it didn't take a genius to figure out what that was going to be used for. There were arched doorways all along the different sides of the wall, and in between each of them was a lit torch and several weapons and tools of various sizes. On the far end of the room was a marble table that must have been at least 10 feet wide, which was covered with open books and several mortars and pestles. Behind the table was a shelf that had been carved into the marble wall itself, and it was packed to the brim with vials, jars of herbs, and some containers of strange creatures I couldn't quite identify. What was more intimidating, though, was the fact that the room was also packed full of witches. There must have been at least 100 jammed into the marble room, and each of them wore a variation of the outfit the first two witches wore. They all had a tight red leather jacket or vest of some sort, accompanied on their bodies by fishnets, black sleeves, dark makeup, and goth hairstyles. This would have been High School Carter's dream come true if these women weren't all out for my blood, and, upon closer inspection, very unattractive under their makeup and dark clothing. I saw more than one witch in need of a dentist or dermatologist, or both, and I suppressed a wince when my enhanced sense of smell picked up on their collective body odors. Gross. These weren't the sexy witches my mom had warned me about. Though it made sense a crazy cult was full of society's rejects.
Sisters!
Ginny cackled as she raised her hands in the air and addressed the crowd.
We have some special visitors. Behold!
The blonde witch who held me said as she lifted me up in the air and presented me to her coven.
The Bastard of Bast.
A collective gasp spread throughout the room, followed immediately by indiscernible chatter and whispers.
Another one?
One of the women asked.
No, sisters.
Ginny trailed off with a smirk.
This isn't just any Bastard of Bast. This is the Bastard of Bast. The one who keeps evading the children of the lesser sex.
Him? We capture the one the OLG has been after for months.
I have a name, you know, you ugly hags. I love that you guys only know me as the Bastard of Bast.
Silence.
The witch who held me hissed, and the rest of her sisters followed suit. The sound of the unified hisses echoed off the walls of the marble room and sent shivers down my spine. But I tried to remain diligent. I wasn't going to let these people rattle me, even if they had all sorts of fancy tricks up their sleeves.
Ladies, what do you think we should do with the bastard?
The angry hisses suddenly turned into playful giggles, and somehow it was equally as creepy.
Kill him!
One of the witches shouted.
I say we have a little bit of fun with him first.
Another sister of the new moon cackled.
Look at how handsome he is.
Are you saying we should fuck him? Or torture him?
Why not both?
Somebody laughed.
Those both certainly sound fun.
Ladies, ladies.
Ginny proclaimed.
Calm down. I know our new guest here is certainly a looker, but remember who he is. He's a bastard of Bast, one of Khonsu's most hated enemies. As tempting as it may be to seduce this creature, you must resist, for he's our enemy. And anyone who's caught taking the seed of the enemy is considered a traitor to Khonsu's cause. And I don't have to remind you what we do to traitors, right? No, sister.
The coven said in unison.
Good.
Ginny continued.
Now, let me introduce you to these lovely ladies. They're the ones who brought us this prized possession. And in return, we shall take them in, make them one with the ways of our god. Girls, meet Jenny, Ashley, and Darla.
Hi, Jenny, Ashley, and Darla.
The entire room said in a freaky,
cult-like tone.
Now, ladies, I know we were set to discuss some important news,
the blonde witch who held me added.
But due to these special circumstances, I think that can all wait until the sacrifice has been performed.
Who wishes to take the prisoner and prepare him for his death?
Ginny asked. Even though every pair of eyes in the room was locked in on my position, nobody said a word, and all of the sisters of the new moon glanced around at each other, at the ground, and even up at the ceiling, as they tried to avoid the eye contact of their leaders.
Oh, fuck it.
The blonde who held me sighed.
Naomi, you're going to do it.
Me?
A deep yet innocent voice asked from the middle of the room.
Why do I have to do it?
Because you're one of our newest members.
Ginny growled.
So you get the shit duties when nobody else volunteers. Don't worry, though. Soon these three will be our newest members, so you'll be completely off the hook. Now take the prisoner back to the preparation room. The rest of us will prepare the altar, the proper prayers, and the incense.
Suddenly the witch who held me picked me up off my feet and then launched me forward into the crowd of witches. They scattered as I flew toward them. So I slammed into the marble floor with a loud, painful crash and tumbled a few feet before I rolled to a stop. Pain shot through my body as I laid there and groaned. And then white-hot rage boiled up from the pit of my stomach. I was being really patient with these people, but I was about to lose my fucking cool. My body trembled with rage as I tried to keep the werepanther at bay, and thankfully I was able to push all the negative energy back down and out of my mind.
Be careful!
Ginny gasped.
He doesn't know how to control the transformation yet, but if you start hurting him while he's still completely conscious, he might freak out and turn.
Sorry, sister.
The blonde witch hung her head.
I won't do it again.
Take him away, Naomi. The rest of you help us welcome our newest members.
Come on.
A deep, sultry voice grumbled, and then I felt a set of hands grab me underneath my armpits.
At least we get to avoid all the pomp and circumstance.
Easy for you to say, I growled as I stood to my feet. You're not the one getting sacrificed.
It's for the greater good,
the woman said from behind me.
We cannot have your impure spirit running around on this earth. Start walking toward the room to the west, the one just to the right of the Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden?
I began, but then I went silent when I saw the literal Iron Maiden torture device between two doorways.
Ah, that thing.
I felt the woman's hand press against my back, so I started to shuffle forward as quickly as the chains on my feet would allow. I gave my three friends a sharp glance as I walked away, and I hoped they all remembered the reason we were here in the first place. We needed to see if we could find one of these witches who we could trust or turn. Now, that would have been way easier had we actually gone to a Sisters of Horus meeting, but alas, that ship has sailed. As I walked, several of the witches in the room shot me dirty glares, and a few of them even started to taunt me with hisses, sneers, and death threats. After a few minutes of going through the walk of shame, I stepped through the threshold of the door and entered into a much smaller, yet still equally marbled room. In this one, there was no furniture except a small wooden table that was tilted at a 45-degree angle and contained four chains with shackles at their ends. On the walls hung lots of strange, random objects made of various materials, and I recognized some of them as torture devices, such as a heretic's fork, a choke pear, crocodile shears, and even a frickin' Spanish tickler. Next to the torture devices were several jars and urns full of God only knows what, and then there was a tiny wardrobe of clothing I assumed would be used for part of the ritual.
Get on the table.
Or what? I chuckled as I started to turn around. There's only one of you right now, and I... Before I could finish my sentence, I felt an ethereal magic wrap around my body, and I was slowly lifted up into the air as a silver glow shone across my face. My feet left the ground as my body slowly turned around, and then I was pushed back onto the table. Finally, I was able to see this woman who was going to prep me for the ceremony. She looked to be fairly young for a witch, not quite as young as Janine or Leah, but definitely in her late 20s or early 30s. She had on an interesting-looking black top that appeared to be a cross between a corset and a regular t-shirt. The garment was pitch black and made up of cotton fabric, with a bit of lace that stretched over her neckline. But there were black strings all the way down the front of her chest that were tied together to give the appearance of a corset. It had the same effect as a corset, too, considering a thick line of cleavage jutted out beneath the netting on the witch's collarbone. I guess I couldn't blame her for wanting to wear something like that. From all accounts, corsets were uncomfortable as fuck.
On top of the corset shirt, this woman wore a thigh-length crimson leather jacket with long sleeves and black patches on the shoulders. I could tell the jacket had shoulder pads in addition to the aesthetic dark spots, and there were also a few leather straps that wrapped around her upper arms and snapped into the main jacket itself. The woman wore skimpy black shorts on her bottom half, as well as shin-high red leather boots with small flat heels, and between the two pieces on her bottom, fishnets covered up the exposed flesh of her legs and thighs. So far, this woman seemed a lot sexier than her dumpy and middle-aged sisters. Then my gaze traveled upward as I took in her pale, heart-shaped face, and I saw she wore a color of red lipstick that was so dark it almost appeared black. However, the color perfectly complemented her black hair, which was styled into a choppy bob filled with bright red highlights throughout. Her lips were thin, though they were accentuated by the color of her lipstick, and she had dark brown eyes that seemed to stare past me and into the abyss. Damn, what was this gorgeous woman doing hanging out with a bunch of ugly crones?
The fuck are you looking at?
The woman scoffed as she held me against the table with her glowing silver magic. You? You're really fucking hot. What are you doing hanging out with all those ugly bitches? You should be a model or something. The beautiful witch's dark eyes opened wide, and then her mouth hung down with obvious surprise.
You should really take a picture. It'll last longer.
She cleared her throat as her eyes roamed my face. I would, but those psychos out there tossed my phone in the river after they knocked me out. That was a dirty lie, of course. My phone was out in the car.
You're not going to be able to talk your way out of this, bastard of bast.
The witch grumbled as she began to fasten the shackles around my arms and legs. Her face was turning pretty red, though. As soon as she had me secured, the dark-haired witch released her spell and let me slump back against the cold wooden table. So what happens now? Naomi, right? They said that's your name?
Try all you want.
Naomi sneered, and then she strode over to the wall of jars.
I know exactly what you're trying to do, and it's not going to work.
I'm just trying to get your name right. It sounds like you and I are going to be in here for a little bit, so we should at least know each other's proper names. I'm Carter, by the way. Naomi picked up a clay urn, opened up the lid, and then walked back over to me. As she did so, the woman dipped her index and middle fingers into the vessel and came back out with a strange, goopy black mixture on her fingers. Then, once she got close enough to reach me, Naomi reached up and began to draw something on my forehead.
Khonsu, keeper of time and great traveler of the night,
Naomi began, as she moved her fingers about my head.
Show me your guiding light, and allow this sacrifice to remain pure as he travels through the underworld and into your possession.
Pure? I scoffed as the woman stepped back. I haven't been pure since junior year of high school, babe. Naomi didn't respond to my joke. Instead, she placed the lid back onto the urn before she moved on to another spot on the shelf, where she plucked a few reeds out of a vase and grabbed a lighter. The witch proceeded to light the end of the reed and blow on the embers to make them grow stronger. And a strange, woodsy, and earthy scent filled my nostrils as Naomi began to wave the smoking herbs around in front of her and walk around me in a circle.
A papyrus from the Great Nile.
She continued to speak to Khonsu.
To remind you of the mighty river you once called home and shall return back to at the end of time. Accept this offering as you do the reed, for the rotted shell of his corpse will suffer the same fate as it.
You're gonna burn me? That seems kind of counterproductive if you want me to suffer, unless you do it when I'm still alive, like that shitty Nicolas Cage movie.
The Wicker Man remake is not something we talk about in this coven.
Naomi hissed and pointed her finger in my face. I felt my eyebrows tick upward in surprise. I'd made the quip as a joke, but it seemed I'd found something this witch was passionate about. Maybe I could use it to my advantage. I could either try and make a connection with her, or I could just use this knowledge to get under her skin. Either way, game on.